Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
What a time to be alive.
Terrific.
How's that catchphrase going over there, James? I'm Claire, by the way. This is Suggestible Pod. We recommend you things to what watch, read, and listen to. I'm not going to
coming at you high energy.
We don't have any Nick Mason today in the episode.
No, but that's no. But well, I'm sure we'll see an increase in numbers regardless because, you know, you know what he's like, Claire. You know what he's about.
He's so bloody popular, yeah. That, mate.
Actually, I didn't check the numbers. What were the numbers last week?
I don't know. I didn't check either.
Let's assume bad. All right. So we suggest things, don't we? Or did you already say that?
I did. And never has there been a better time for you to get things suggested to you to watch, read and listen to, considering that we're all in our houses.
Well, or should be in our houses.
Or should be in our houses.
Hope you're not still on spring break or if one of those boomers just wandering around the center of town.
Oh, Lord.
Waiting to die.
We really shouldn't be making jokes because it's a very serious time. And if you're
right,
having...
Claire. But if we can't laugh at all the people who will die from this disease, what can we laugh at?
No, we're not making jokes.
Okay, sorry.
Don't make jokes. So however, you'll be right out there,
yeah,
hopefully.
Maybe.
Who knows?
Who
anyway,
does know?
Let's just recommend you some stuff to make you feel happy.
Should I start or do you want to start?
Just before we start, I need to confess something.
Okay, I love a confession.
I sang Sweet Caroline on my Instagram account.
This sounds less like a confession and more like a humble brag, Claire.
No, it was bad.
Get out of here with that.
It wasn't supposed to be good. Because I'm not good at guitar, but I'm trying to pick up hobbies.
Yeah.
Seeing as they're stuck in isolation and I've stared at that bloody guitar forever. And so I've learnt a new song on it and I thought people should know that Sweet Caroline, you can play it in 3.5 chords.
Oh my goodness. Neil Diamond, you're a big fan?
Well, I like Sweet Caroline. So yeah.
You don't like the one that goes, good Lord.
Yeah,
I listened to a lot of Neil Diamond growing up because my parents were big fans.
They also really love those Irish women that sing.
God.
What are they called?
The Gaelic women or whatever.
Yeah, they're always like, ooh, Danny boy, in a like giant dress.
Singing in front of a fake castle, but like in an enormous stadium with like a million people in there.
I'm like,
who's this for?
Your
Who
parents.
Are the fans of this? Yeah.
Your parents, your mum and dad.
I think
love
part
them.
Of it is also they're very good looking Irish ladies. So I think that's part of it. I think that's like there's a few husbands.
Your dad listens to our show.
Yeah, I don't care. So I think there's a bit of like, you know, wives will like it because they love the music and the husbands are like, yeah, I also like this.
I mainly just like the cleavage. There
yeah,
is quite
right.
a lot of cleavage.
That's all I'm saying.
You've called your dad out.
Just Google cleavage.
You don't need bloody isolation, mate. You don't need to take him down even further.
Absolutely, I do.
All right.
So
off to the starting
speaking
of the suggestibles.
Yeah, speaking of isolation and despair, I watched an incredibly bleak thing last night. It's a new movie to streaming.
That's a new thing for you.
But I think it helped me in the long run. It's called Vivarium. And it's the director, Lorcan Finnegan.
Post-apocalyptic. Zombies.
No.
Robots.
So
AI.
It stars Imogen Poots and Jesse Eisenberg, who you may know as is young and upcoming actors. That's probably not true. I think they're both in their 30s. So anyway, they're looking for a home because they want to buy houses. A lot of millennials do. You know what I mean? They want to get into that market while you can.
They either want to buy a house or in Australia eat avocado on toast.
Oh my God! You can't do both. You got to pick one or the other.
Do you remember the time when people were just in uproar about millennials being forced not to eat brunch so they could buy a house?
And those things don't even correlate because, like, if you do crunch the numbers, the amount of avocado toast you would not have to eat. I don't know the numbers, but it's not conceivable in a lifetime that if you save the $3 maybe twice a week, it doesn't actually factor in at all.
No.
You have to make, like, grand sweeping kind of financial decisions or just come into a lot of money. So anyway, whatever.
Correct. Or get free university education.
Yeah, exactly. So that comes from a lot of people who don't know what the fuck they're talking about. Just pull yourself up, but shut up. Anyway.
Okay, tell us about your crap, so they're looking for a home that you love. Everything you watch, yes. You are always watching stuff that's like set in a bleak landscape.
Yeah, this was, I did not like this at all, but it's a good movie. Like I liked it, but it's like I did not enjoy watching that. Kind of thing. So okay. they go to a very odd real estate agent and he leads them to, he's a very odd man. It's like, what's wrong with this guy? And he leads them to a really idyllic neighborhood, but not idyllic in a good way. Every house is literally exactly the same. The sky is weirdly uniform in terms of like the way that it looks. And then he shows them around the house and then he disappears. And then they go, okay, I guess we'll just leave. So they leave. But they can't get out of this neighborhood. Oh, it looks exactly the same no matter where they go.
This is the worst thing to be watching at the moment.
I know. So they're driving around and around until eventually they run out of petrol. So, but every time they kind of keep turning corners, they end up back at this house, this particular house that they've been shown. There's no one there, by the way. There's no one in the neighborhood. It's just them. And so they're stuck in this place. They don't know why they're there. And then somebody, I won't go any further than this, but somebody dumps a baby on the doorstep and says, you need to raise this baby. And it's really claustrophobic and just upsetting and disturbing. And you feel like you're in it, like the sense of isolation and slowly kind of going mad.
Why would you and like, watch this
and like
now?
What is kind of going on? You feel like you're in it. Like it really, and it's really kind of trippy, but and it's a kind of a mystery, but it's not, it won't give you the answers that you're kind of looking for. But yeah, I didn't like it, but it was good.
No, I'm legitimately, and I'm not
weird,
making fun of you.
And I had weird dreams.
Can you tell me why you chose to watch that?
Because also off the back of that,
film.
I'm like, oh, at least I'm not these two people. Like, because they're stuck in a house, but it's like this weirdly uniformed, I guess, for lack
you know
of a better
that
word,
we are
going
to be given a baby. Well, like a baby will be,
but it's not
dragged,
just yeah, it's not just the baby that's upsetting. It's like the things
soon.
That kind of happen. As
oh,
a result
good.
Of this baby.
Well, they're trapped
kind
in
of,
a house.
From the opening of this movie, which I won't spoil because I feel like that kind of gives away where it ends up going.
Oh, okay.
And I will never watch it again, but I did enjoy it. I found it really engrossing.
So what's it called?
It's called Vivarium.
And where can you find it?
I think I streamed it off Prime, but I had to go through a VPN because it wasn't.
Oh, like ExpressVPN?
ExpressVPN,
our very first
from last
sponsor.
Week. Exactly. So,
correct. Royal Collings will put a link to the
Oh, let's not do any free publicity
underneath.
Here, Claire.
If you would like to, please help the show.
But that's what I've having me to do for a lot of movies because they're like, it's released on streaming. Yeah, everywhere else but here for some reason. So that's what I've been doing. But
I am genuinely curious, though. Why are you drawn to such dark subject
because
matter?
Because it's compelling and it's also, at the end of the day, that's not our particular situation.
So are you, because I can't do this. Like I have always been, as a kid as well, we never watched TV unless we were seriously watching it. Like we were never a family that just had it on the background. And I find TV so absorbing and so emotionally like draining or I just take on board the characters. And sometimes if I watch a show for a long enough time, I can start talking like some of the characters in the TV. It's part of my personality.
Sure.
I don't know why I do it, but that's what happens. And so to me, if I had to watch something like that, I would go insane.
Mm.
I can't cope with it. So is it that you're able to distance yourself and like
am,
look
yeah.
at it as a piece
I can
of
separate,
art?
I can separate myself from it. Yeah. And the other, like I did, like to be fair, I did have like a like weird dreams. I kind of related to this thing. But again, I can look at this and go, well, this is not a real thing. This is obviously a fake situation.
Is that how you're able to watch all those terrible horror films? Well, you don't really watch horror. You know, like Westworld and –
Yeah, I can kind of switch off
those kind
things,
of shows.
Yeah. So I would say, if you kind of want something upsetting – And there's some very kind of disturbing moments. Not so much, not like horror stuff,
you
but just like.
Such glee. Ugh. This is like that time you ruined Christmas by telling me about that Toni Collette movie where they all end up in a snow globe stalked by a giant monster. And I thought it was going to be like a happy family Christmas movie.
Yeah, the Krampus, get into
they're
it.
Very different people. You
all those Santa's like toys that come in, the Krampus's toys, they're all filled with like meat. They're like horrible creatures under there. Yeah. Anyway,
so
what do
gross.
You want to recommend?
Is it more disturbing than Okja? Last question.
Yeah.
Way more.
Yeah.
All right. I'm not watching that. But good on you for choosing more bleak shit to
thank
watch.
Thank you. My second one is less
downtime.
Bleak, but thank you.
All right. I'm seriously doubting that. All right. So I thought I would recommend a TV show quickly. I'm sneakily worried I've already recommended it, but I bloody love it. So I'm just going to go ahead.
Sure.
I couldn't find it. So it's called The Bletchley Circle. And it's an older one. It's been around for quite a while. It's
on 2014.
Yeah, yeah. It's really good, though. It's a television mystery drama miniseries set in 1952 to 53 about four women who worked as code breakers at Bletchley Park. Dissatisfied with the officials' failure to investigate complex crimes, so it kind of is set 7 years later, because Bletchley Park, for anyone who doesn't know, was kind of the English base for the Allied forces when they were deciphering codes.
Right, okay.
And what I find really interesting is this giant mansion, right? And by January 1945 in World War II, it was the peak of the code breaking efforts. Nearly 10,000 personnel were working there at this mansion, just breaking codes and trying to decipher German messaging. And about three quarters of them were actually women, many of whom came from quite middle-class backgrounds with degrees in math, science, engineering, and physics. And they were given entry into those STEM programs due to the lack of men who had been sent to war. But what happened was so many of those women who did these incredibly complex calculations and who were able to then solve some of the great mysteries and actually, they think, shorten the war by 2 to 4 years.
They went on to run the country.
No, they didn't. They went back. They went back to being housewives. They weren't allowed to even tell their husbands what they were doing because it was all under the, like, secret code of the, you know, like, forces and everything. And so all these incredibly smart women, once all the men came back, just had to go back to raising kids. Not there's anything wrong with that, but, you know, have limited choices and get married and generally live pretty boring lives. And no one really knew a lot about them. And I just find that so frustrating. And they were called things like the Bletchleyettes and the Dilly's Fillies, this guy called Dylan Knox, who was kind of one of the leaders in code breaking. So the men tend to be more well known. But some of these Dilly's Fillies, in inverted commas, were women like Jean Perrin, Claire Harding, Rachel Ronald and Elizabeth Granger and Jane Hughes. Yeah, responsible for just incredible things, spoke so many languages like French and German. Yeah, just incredible about a history. And I find a lot of the time women get kind of erased from history.
Yeah.
A lot. Or they get lumped together in that kind of like patronising Dilly's Fillies words or whatever. Anyway,
women of the war. They're all categorized as that woman who's like,
yeah, with
look
the
at my bicep. Yeah.
So all of these incredibly smart women with these incredible talents then just had to give up their jobs. Anyway, so this is it's a fictional story, but it is based around women who have come from Bletchley Park, loosely based around sort of true events of the women's lives that were there. So 7 years later, Susan, Millie, Lucy, and Jean, who worked together, then kind of come back together to start solving crime, basically. Mm. And their husbands, and they're all in different situations. One's in domestic violence, another's got a husband who's like lovely, works in like the transport department and just so dismissive of her. And
that's a real Nick Mason, if ever I've heard one.
He's so supportive of women. Anyway, but the men in it, it's just such a look at society at that time and how women were so disregarded. And there's just this series of murders of women being brutally murdered and the police don't know what to do.
Is it the one person doing the murders?
Well, there's actually a couple of series in this show and so there's a couple of different crimes that unfold. What
do you say?
But, yeah, the women work together and they kind of end up showing up the police a little bit even though the police get initially don't listen to them because they're women and da-da-da. So
right.
It's yeah, it's just really it's great. It's kind of like a look at a really interesting period in history. It's quite funny. It makes me quite furious a lot of the time as well. But it's also just a great kind of rollicking story.
Yeah.
Great murder mystery, you know, kind of thing. And
you'd kiss it.
I really
you'd kiss
like
it?
I'd kiss it. Yeah, oh it's God. Just really addictive watching too.
Have you watched it before? Because I know you said you thought, I don't think you have mentioned this before, but had you watched it
before? All
right,
yeah. I've watched it before. Yeah, so I watched it a while ago. It's on Netflix. Mm. I think there's three series and they're just great. And the costumes and the period kind of look of the whole show.
How many people are smoking
great
cigarettes
too?
In this show?
Oh, many are smoking a cigarette.
Hear.
And I guess at this time, like while we're all hanging out in our houses and we're kind of living through a really crazy point in history, it's really interesting to go back and have a look at other points in history.
Yeah.
Yeah. I think it makes me marvel at how far women's rights have come.
And how far have they come?
Very far.
That's good, but not far enough.
Not far enough. I think also, and this is going to sound really lame, and I'm
this
probably,
is another Instagram plug.
No, it's not. Royal Callings might need to edit this bit out if I think I'm going to sound like too much of a dickhead. But people often say to me this phrase, which really irritates me, and I've talked to you about this before. People are like, oh, you're a smart woman. You're so smart. Claire's such a smart woman.
Who said that you're a smart woman? Who would dare?
What? I know. I know, which is like a lovely compliment. But
no, I'm not. That's what I'm saying. But
like men don't get called, oh, what a smart guy. You know? Like,
yeah,
oh,
that's
you're
probably
a smart
fair.
I don't know. It just annoys me sometimes that patronizing kind of thing of like, well, not all. The implication is not all women are smart and it's unusual that you're a smart woman.
Well, I mean, think like not all men are smart. No, not all women are smart, but it is an odd compliment to be like, oh, that's surprising that you're smart.
That's what I mean. It's sort of more unusual or something. And I'm definitely, there are women who are, and men who are much smarter than me, you know, much more than me. However.
Don't know about that.
Yeah. All I'm trying to say is it bugs me. And watching this, I really identify with the women who are a little bit frustrated and have these brains that aren't being utilized. Yeah, that's all I wanted to say. The Bletchley Circle on Netflix.
Get into it. Get into it. Get out of it.
My raging feminism has come out.
Oh, my goodness.
Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. How to get 30, 30, how to get 30, how to get 20, 20, 20, how to get 20, 20, how to get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month? Sold!
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Off you go.
All right, off I go? Okay.
Yeah.
There's a show called Miracle Workers. It's here, it's on Stan, I think. Yeah, it is on Stan here, but who knows where it's on wherever you are. It stars Daniel Radcliffe, Geraldine Viswanathan. I've definitely said it. Viswanathan.
That is an interesting surname.
She's great. She's in a teen movie where a guy accidentally cuts his dick off. It's a fun movie. She's in Blockers, I think, as well. Have you seen Blockers?
No.
Yeah, anyway, Steve Buscemi.
He cuts his own dick off.
It's, yeah.
On purpose?
No, Claire.
What a smart guy.
I know. That's what I said. Karan Soni. So season one is kind of like a not as good version of The Good Place. Earth sucks and God is an idiot, played by Steve Buscemi. He doesn't really know what he's doing. It's just fine. Like a kind of, it's fun and everyone's kind of fun and good in it and Daniel Radcliffe and whatever. It's all good. But season two, they've made this like an anthology series, so it's much more interesting. So they've taken it back to the Dark Ages. It's the same cast, but they're playing different characters in a completely different setting. Set in like a really horrible time in English history where everything is superstition and education is dumb and violence kind of rules. Like if you're stupid or violent, you'll kind of get ahead as opposed to if you know anything. Does that make sense?
Yes, it does. Oh, yeah. Great. It sounds like all the terrible times in history.
Exactly. Well, that's exactly what it is. So Daniel Radcliffe is the son of an insane king, but he's kind of this dandy kind of, he's trying to do well and be nice, but he's also really pampered. So he's got this skewed perspective. And Geraldine Viswanathan, I feel like I'm saying that wrong every time. She's the daughter of Edward Murphy shit shoveler. So she's, that's her job. She then has to take on the family job, even though she's quite well, she's quite smart and educated and she understands kind of physics and for the time and how everything kind of works. So you could completely skip the first season if you wanted to. It wouldn't really matter because the second season is a huge improvement, I think. It's kind of like, Blackadder kind of skipped through time.
Yes.
It's kind of like in that kind of respect. Yep. Yeah. So I think it's I've been watching it for a while and I've been meaning to bring it up for weeks now and I think it might be near the end of the second season now, but and it comes up weekly on Stan, but again, I don't know what it's doing wherever anybody else is. So I think you also would like it.
Yeah, I've seen you watching this on and off. I think I think I probably would really like. I like Daniel Radcliffe. Yeah. I met him once.
You did meet him once. Yeah.
I did. Wait, because I mean, he's never really going to not be Harry Potter, is he?
No, I mean, what's crazy about I think most of the people from Harry Potter, except for one of the bullies who went to jail for rioting during the London riots, they're all relatively normal despite being insanely wealthy and very famous from a very young age.
I think they were looked after well, though.
Yeah, I think you might be right.
You know, I think there's a difference between the era where Drew Barrymore grew up as a child star.
Yeah, that was horrible. Yeah. She was abused and there were drugs at a very young age.
So many young stars at that point.
It depends on
cared for,
who's looking after you as well, what your circumstances are.
And I also think J.K. Rowling in general, we went and saw Harry Potter the musical, which was amazing. The stage show, The Cursed Child. Someone I met in a cafe, her mum was actually in that show, and she said that J.K. Rowling made a real point at looking after all of the actors, and it's the show that those actors had been in that was the most generous with pay, B, sick leave, which often actors in shows like that never get sick
leave
because they're limited runs.
It's a lot of time if you're an actor.
And they had less hours on stage. So they had more time to rest in between shows.
Oh, really?
Because it is a huge show.
It's like a whole day or you got to do it over 2 days.
So I wonder if her attitude has kind of filtered through to the
maybe,
set.
Or
it's just a new
No, I don't. I think
different.
You might be right because she did have a lot of sway over the directors and the cast for those movies. That was a condition of her coming on board, of selling the book rights. I know she pushed for a British cast, which there's no Americans in those movies. Or if there are, there aren't many. And that's a result of her. That's why every British actor kind of shows up in those. Because I know Steven Spielberg was going to do it at one point and he wanted Haley Joel Osment to be Harry Potter. And
it just would have had a different feel.
It would have a different feel. I'm not saying it wouldn't have been. Like, look, to be honest, I don't like those first three movies. I don't think they're good. I think they're good kids' movies, but I don't think they're very.
I mean, nothing beats the books. That's in my opinion.
Speaking of, actually, on my more popular podcast, The Weekly Planet, we're doing Harry Potter movies 5 and 6 this week.
A bit of cross promo over there. We're just promoting ourselves shamelessly on this episode.
Harry Potter movies this week. Well, they're some of the better ones. Yeah, they're good.
My lovely friend Chanel uses Harry Potter as her happy place.
Oh, good.
And I respect
it. But I also feel like that last movie really burnt me out on Harry Potter. And seeing the play, which again I liked, but I'm like, I'm kind of done on Harry Potter for the moment, but I'm going back by popular demand. Yeah.
Yeah. And look, I liked the movies. I enjoyed them, but the books I've read them so many times. They just take me into another place.
Great.
Actually, I should reread them again.
Nah.
Anyway,
who's got the time?
Who has the time? Okay. Where are we up to? Whose turn?
You,
is it
it's
to
your
review?
Turn.
It's my turn to review. All right. Okay. So after the Bletchley Circle rant,
yes,
I actually just have some suggestions for parenting ideas.
Oh,
it's
my goodness.
Little parenting segment. Turn it off if you don't care about small humans.
I was thinking about this today and just seeing people online. If we didn't have kids, this would be the easiest fucking thing in the world. Because we work from home anyway.
And then, everyone's different. Because some people lost their jobs and living in different situations.
Obviously,
but for us,
I'm talking about our particular situation. Obviously. I'm not saying anybody who doesn't have kids is flying through this. But I'm saying in our particular circumstance, this would be, I would cruise through this. I wouldn't even blink.
Of course you wouldn't. You're bloody introverted. It's your dream.
I think you'd struggle with it more than I would.
Yeah, but saying that, I kind of feel like I've got into a rhythm with it now.
Yeah, definitely.
But that is very true. There is a big difference between people who have especially little kids and people who don't. Because if they're older kids and they're teenagers, I'm assuming there's also really tough stuff about it too, but they can entertain themselves a lot more, right? Like they have schoolwork to do. They've got books. They don't want to be hanging around with their parents all the time. They are independent.
They think their parents are big nerds.
Big old nerdy nerds.
At the moment,
nerds.
I keep saying to my son, though, he doesn't. I'm like, one day you're not going to want to hang out with me. You're not going to want to hold my hand.
Stop saying that to you.
And he's like, let's wrestle or whatever.
No, he's the best. All he wants to do
he's
is
doing
hang
really
with
well.
Us. He is. He's a real trooper and he's been incredible. And actually, he's keeping me sane through all of this. But as well, it's hard. Because there's all these things that he would normally have and do and he can't do them. And so we're having to create a whole little world in our house.
Yeah, absolutely.
And so for those parents who – particularly I think with him it's easier because he's so fun to hang out with now because he is learning new things and you can have conversations with him and reason with him mostly.
Yes, mostly.
I think if you had 2-year-olds – Three-year-olds. I know. I am in solidarity with you guys out
there. I'm
not.
You're out on your own.
If you have kids with special needs or learning difficulties, if you're a carer, man, I'm just with you guys. Amazing. So much respect. Anyway, so I thought I would do some things that I've been doing with him that seem to be working.
You know who the real heroes are, though?
Who?
Justice League. Some of the best. They're out there, fictionally. All right, solving crimes and things.
And
yeah.
What, so like finding a cure for the coronavirus?
No, no, I'm saying in their fictional universe, they've got their own thing going on. They might be doing deceased.
No, I keep having to read that stupid dictionary of
the Justice League.
The Justice League.
Do you know why we have that Justice we have that Justice League kids manual? It's because a friend of mine, bleep this name out, Conlings.
My man.
So, yeah, I know. He goes, you like comics? And he gave me this. And I'm like, this is a children's book, you fucking Muppet. He gave it to me like 8 years ago when we didn't have kids. And I'm like, what do you think I do?
Because you're a child. You were essentially a giant.
I didn't say that.
But I don't think that it's much of a stretch for your friend to buy you a hard copy superhero.
I could take a comic off the shelf right now.
All the time.
Of like somebody tearing off another person's head or something. Comics are not just for kids. Claire.
I've really hit.
There's a big difference.
Sore point.
But that's what's good about them because there's so much variety.
I know.
In what you can do
this.
With different characters.
I know they're amazing. They're graphic novels.
One time,
they're
Bane picked
adult.
Up Batman and broke him over his knee.
Whoa!
His spine snapped like a packet of spaghetti.
Oh. That's terrible. That's ironic. I made pasta tonight for dins.
You certainly did.
For old din-dins. Okay. Well, can I get back to my recommendation?
I guess.
Oh, God. I exploded some kind of like weird bomb over there of like, I'm not really a child. My job is a real job.
I didn't say that. I didn't say any of that. All I'm saying is our friend.
My job is a real job.
He's an idiot.
He's not an idiot.
Yes, he is. Most jobs aren't
I
real
I hate
anyway.
That Justice League dictionary. It's really boring, yeah, it but our son loves it. Literally, it's just listing superheroes.
Yeah.
All right. Okay. So the things that have been really working, lunchbox. So I pre-make in the morning a lunchbox, which I know some parents are like, oh, lunchboxes suck. I've got one of those ones that's got little compartments in it so you don't have to wrap anything because that's the bane of my existence.
Sure.
You just shove a whole lot of snacks in there because one thing that is annoying about little kids, they can't make their own snacks. And so when they're hungry, so often they just, you have to keep going to make the snacks. But if you can pre-make all the snacks in the morning and make it an activity with them.
Yeah.
And then they can just go to their lunchbox whenever they need to.
That's right.
So good. And I put on my Instagram, but I talked about it last week, that I'm doing pretend kinder. You could do pretend school as well. It's real fun.
You could do pretend
that
anything.
Lunchbox is part of that.
You could do pretend. Yeah. You can do pretend stuck in your house because of a virus.
All right. Well, anyway, I think that's kind of fun. And that's the joy of little kids. They've got that imagination that will go with you with that kind of stuff. Okay, here are some other things that I reckon are lifesavers.
I love lifesavers.
There's a website called Storyline Online. Have you heard about this, James?
I don't know what a website is.
I think you'd really like it. It's stories read by celebrities.
Oh,
for instance, your favorite, David Harbour.
I do like David Harbour.
Yeah, you actually would like this. It's not corny. It's just lovely. So they just
How do you know I like David Harbour? What do you know about me and David Harbour?
I know you. I know you. I know you love him. You have a big man boner for him. You've talked about him before. For
that's
anyone
just
who
a
doesn't know.
Boner. It's not called a man boner.
Anyway,
it's just a boner.
He reads.
You don't. You, okay. That's sexist.
Pipe down. Anyway, it's actually really great. And the stories are great. They mainly show the pictures. The celebrities aren't like, is obviously talking.
Yeah.
But they're doing it. And it's really cozy and lovely. So David Harbour reads Snapsy the Alligator. There's Chris O'Dowd, who's quite a fun, fun guy from the IT crowd. And he reads Arnie the Donut.
Yes.
One of my favorites is Harry the Daddy Dog. I love that book. And it's read by Betty White.
Oh, Betty White.
He's just bloody
Every time
adorable.
I hear Betty White's alive, I'm like, that's amazing.
I know. She's Golden Girls, right?
One of, I think.
Pretty sure. Anyway,
that's a
I
very,
love her.
Very popular show that I never watched. There's a lot of like, oh my God, the Golden Girls are the best. I'm like, yeah, it's the best. I love it. Never seen it.
I loved the Cosby Show.
Oh, he's a rapist.
No,
he's in jail for rape.
I loved that show.
Never
so
really watched
much.
It either. Fuck that guy.
Oh, well, he was seriously part of my childhood. I loved that show.
He was part
show.
Of everybody's childhood, oh, except anyway. For mine.
Anyway, so Storyline Online, get on it. It's really great. The website's really awesome too. They have really great pictures of all of the books and there's just lots of really good quality kids' books. So if you are tired and can't be bothered reading some stories and you have some work to do, pop your kids in front of that. They'll love it.
They'll love it. They'll kiss it.
So other things you can do are virtual excursions, which are really – I know they're not the same. But some of the websites actually are really cool. I know James is like trying to poke his eye out with the corner of his glasses. You can go to the Louvre. You can go –
you can go to the Louvre. You go to the
go
toilet
A lot
at the
of
Louvre.
Different zoos have virtual things. It's really cool. And the museums as well. So all over the world. So in New York and everywhere else, they
so
have
you can
kind
walk
of virtual.
Down and be like, what's going on?
You can
on
go
there?
In, yeah, you can go and have a look. And they're like 3D, they have lots of cool stuff on their site. So another really cool one I found was explore the surface of Mars on the Curiosity rover, which is at accessmars.withgoogle.com. And so you can actually go on the Curiosity
Access
rover.
Accessmars@withgoogle.com.
Yeah, that's the website. Because it's Google.
But it's at with?
Oh, no. Let me read it again. Accessmars.withgoogle.com.
I'm saying with.
I don't know what's happening anymore. I had to go to my appointment today and I had to sanitize my hands 50 times. And then I talked to the receptionist behind glass 1.5 meters away.
Like you were buying a gun at a bank.
Yeah, it was real weird. So virtual excursions is actually really cool. And that also links in with Google Earth. Google Earth is awesome. You can type in any location.
What's Google Earth?
You know Google Earth.
Yeah, I know. So does everybody listening on
oh,
this.
Oh, shut up. Well, I'm just reminding people because people are tired. It's fun for kids to do and you can type in like your own. What are you doing over there?
I'll see in a second.
Oh, okay. Oh, he's doing that thing. Oh, anyway, he's so annoying with his phone. Yeah, so you can type in like any location in the world and you can zoom in, you can walk along the streets. Really, really fun and cool.
Is
the
it?
Other thing I found, it's coming up to Easter. So we're reading a book called Spots First Easter by Eric Hill. It's really cute. It just has like a little spot Easter egg hunt in it. It's gorgeous. If you don't have a copy, I'm sure you could also find a version of it being read online. And kids just love it. Then you can do little Easter egg hunts in the garden. You can hunt for actual eggs or you could go and hide pretend eggs. And then you can do lots of little counting games and color recognition and all kinds of stuff with the Easter eggs. I'm ignoring you with your shark app.
I'm going to show you. No, this is important. I'm going to show people when you're finished.
Good. Anyway, so they're my little parenting ideas.
Here's another one. If there's certain animals that you type in, a lot of the common ones, and you type in shark, like I've got here.
In what,
and
then, James?
In Google, Claire, and you just go down, you click on 3D, and then you find like a space, and it will then that shark will appear in augmented reality in your room. So you look through your phone, and the shark is like it's in your room floating around like a shark. And look, you can move it around. It can get bigger and smaller.
I actually hate this.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
All of your suggestions were internet related, Claire, and you hate my internet thing?
They weren't
thing?
All internet related.
One of them was go to the toilet online or whatever you said.
No, virtual excursions.
Virtual explosion of wee. No,
anyway, what? You're the bloody worst, mate.
I know. Is that the show for the week?
Yeah, I think it is. I don't even know anymore. And I don't like you very much.
That's okay. You don't have to like me. You just have to live with me for the rest of your life.
Oh, very briefly, I wanted to talk about that Guardian article. Have you heard about the Paris lockdown?
Yes.
Obviously, that is happening at the moment.
I have.
My sister
Something
was
went
in
around
Paris
in your
recently.
Family's WhatsApp group.
Yeah, it's really cool. The Guardian wrote, well, it's cool, kind of eerie, spooky, sort of strange thing to happen.
It's ghost, is it?
It could be. So the Guardian has written an article entitled Paris Lockdown Leaves Streets Stuck in 1942 for Abandoned Film Set. And basically what happened is in northern Paris, two streets, Rue Berthet and Rue Androuilly, not how you pronounce it, Montmartre, probably not how you pronounce it either.
Perfect.
Near Sacré-Cœur, anyway, Basilica, is in a, left in a time warp of the Nazi occupation for a film that was being made that's had to go into, you know, obviously stop.
What was the film?
Because of the coronavirus. The film was directed by Fred Cavea. It's called Adieu, Monsieur Huffman. It's an adaptation of an award-winning play telling the story of Joseph Huffman, a Jewish jeweler in Paris at the start of the war who is forced to hide in the cellar of his shop as the Nazis take over the city. So there's obviously – it's a black comedy, but a lot of the shop fronts have like the Nazi symbols. They've got lots of messages on them, obviously being shut down due to the war and the occupation. So it's quite a spooky thing. A lot of people in Paris are locked in their houses looking out to what resembles 1942 –
Nazi occupation
during,
of Paris.
Yeah, which is crazy. Yeah, and there's just kind of like crazy things written on the walls that are actually quite sort of relevant now to what is happening.
Because
there's Nazis. Yeah, not that there is actually Nazis in Paris, but anyway.
I imagine there'd be some.
There's a sign on a fake pharmacy that says, "Dear customers, because of a lack of deliveries, certain articles are out of stock." So it's an example of life imitating art, imitating life, James.
Oh, my God.
It's almost like a shark in an app situation in a room.
Oh, that classic saying.
That classic saying.
Speaking of in-app, did you know people can review this show in-app? You just open up your app and you can just click it if you're in your iTunes or whatever. 5 stars if you want, but obviously it's completely up to you. This is from Lady Meridon. It says 10 out of 5 stars. Oh, my goodness. If you're looking for a delightful conversation between two people who you wish you could be friends with in real life, look no further. Claire and James always brighten my day and bring a smile to my face.
Oh,
very kind. Thank you very much.
That is so kind.
I know.
Well, we got a lovely email from Chris Small and the subject line is, ha ha, fantastic. So he's really got on board with your saying. He says some really lovely things about us. He makes Weekly Planet posters and lives in Canada. Chris Small. I won't read all the lovely things he said about us because they're so lovely, but I'll read them to you later. Maybe alone. No, I don't know why I said that.
She's weak to me. Didn't like it.
It's really late here. I'm tired. Okay. So he recommends for James Iron Fist and Kung Fu Kicks, a doco on Netflix about the origins and impacts of Hong Kong martial arts films on other genres
cinemas in general. Yeah.
The styles in the early film can still be clearly seen in all the movies James talks about on his other more popular podcast. The doco specifically focuses on the adoption of the kung fu genre by marginalized and oppressed groups and cultures.
Oh, my goodness.
That sounds right up your alley. So far up, it's probably called James Alley.
I'd love to visit James Alley. It would just be me going, get the fuck out of my alley.
Ha ha, fantastic. Yes. That's what it would be. And for me, he's recommended Life After Life by Kate Atkinson, who I love. I think she's a great author. I've read some of her other books.
Name them.
What?
Name them.
God something. There's one called God and then
God,
the other one.
Something.
My brain doesn't work very
well. My brain
doesn't
work. These are good
ones. And the other one I read was about the detective. I read two and they're both about the same detective.
And he's like, well, I'm on the case.
I can't remember the names of them, but they're really good.
They sound terrific.
Oh, shut up. Now I'm going to have to Google it.
No, you don't. Collings will link them below.
I know, but I need to know. Case Histories. Oh, that's what it was. And also A God in Ruins. There you go. There you go. Anyway, going back to Life After Life, which I want to read because it sounds great, an incredibly inventive novel about the rather eventful life of a woman named Ursula Todds, born in 1910. The story is told in an utterly unique narrative fashion, which is a bit difficult to describe. At each point in the book where Ursula is exposed to catastrophe, we are whisked back a few steps in time to see how the story progresses if her previous fateful choice was just slightly
different. My God, it's like the movie Memento, sort of.
Correct, exactly. Yeah, and he's also got a great link for Kids Sunday, TV free activities you can do with your child.
Give me
it's 10. A book.
Oh, it's a book.
It's a book, yeah, by Steve and Ruth Bennett. Ooh, all of these are great. Thank you so much, Chris. We
really appreciate
it.
That. Those are great suggestions.
Thanks,
and
mate.
You catered to our specific needs.
And I respect that. This
I
guy is
also
cool.
respect
he's
it.
Also used your favourite couch phrase.
Which is?
Ha ha. Fantastic.
Oh, you're ruining it. That's not how you do it.
Ha ha ha. Fantastic?
No, Claire.
Fantastic.
No, it's like this. Fantastic. I didn't do it right.
Okay. No, you didn't. Let me try. Ha ha. Fantastical.
I mean, that's the popular European version.
We're nearly hitting 40 minutes.
We really are. All right. That's everything. So next week.
That's everything.
This again, I guess.
This is again.
So I got to somehow squeeze in watching two Harry Potter movies and the Fantastic Four 2015, which is a horrible film.
While
and watch
reading
all the
every night
stuff.
Justice League.
I was reading a Justice League book and looking after my kid every day as long as doing work and workout videos and also all the metadata shit you got to do with like YouTube. It's a pain in the ass. And audio editing. And but at least I've got some wonderful editors.
Well,
Ben, Matt, and Mitch, they're out there in the world doing good stuff.
Are they?
I don't know what they're up to.
Who knows? You know what I'm quite enjoying about this? And I know I'm in a very privileged position to be enjoying this time period.
Stealing my
drinks
out of
the fridge.
There
are really hard things. I'm very pregnant. I know, I'm drinking a kombucha. I am very pregnant, though, to be fair. So, you know. There, I'm allowed to find some glimpses of joy.
I would say you're selfish most of the time, regardless of you being pregnant. But what did you want to say?
Guys, It's a long time.
What were you enjoying?
It's a long time to be married.
What are you enjoying?
Life is long.
It's only 5 years. It's not even that long. People do this for decades.
We've got bloody, we potentially have bloody like 80 years
left. Get bloody less for murder, am I right?
Yeah, you would.
That's what I'm saying. That's the expression that people say. That's if you go to any wedding anniversary, the husband's always like, you bloody get less for murder. And if he doesn't say it in the crowd, someone's like, you get less for bloody. You know, if you murder your wife, you'd actually get less bloody time.
Are they the same people that like those Gaelic women that say that joke?
Probably, yeah.
Probably. Okay, anyway, all I was going to say was there is one comforting thing that I'm finding that you think about. You know how you don't experience FOMO. You don't like doing anything.
Nah.
But I experience FOMO on a daily basis. And being preggo, there's a lot of things I can't do or like I'm too tired to do because I will just fall asleep. But I have this like weird this comfort podcast. About everybody that we know, just all mostly, unless they are going into work, just staying home.
Yeah, that's right. And the good thing is when we have our kid in however many weeks that is happening, our other kid that's happening, everybody will be stuck inside regardless probably.
Correct.
Well, you know, so thank goodness everybody will be as miserable as us. Good night, everyone. I'm leaving. I've had enough.
He's left. He's gone.
I'm leaving the room.
Oh, all right. I'll say goodbye on my own.
I've already left.
We're at Suggestible Pod on all the platforms. Thanks, Raw Colleagues, for editing this episode. It's been a long one. See ya.
I can still hear you.
This podcast is part of the Planet Broadcasting Network.
Visit planetbroadcasting.com for more podcasts from our great mates.
I mean, if you want. It's up to you.
Need new glasses or want a fresh new style? Warby Parker has you covered. Glasses start at just $95, including anti-reflective, scratch-resistant prescription lenses that block 100% of UV rays. Every frame's designed in-house, with a huge selection of styles for every face shape. And with Warby Parker's free home try-on program, you can order 5 pairs to try at home for free. Shipping is free both ways, too. Go to warbyparker.com/covered to try 5 pairs of frames at home for free. warbyparker.com/covered.